Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 164. I'm your host John Jordan. Don't forget to check out my daily email about blockchain gaming. You can find that at gamestx.substack.com. In this episode, I'm talking to Don Norbury, who is head of studio at Shrapnel. I last had Don on the podcast 2 years ago. A lot has happened since then. Most importantly, Shrapnel is now into early access testing. So we talk about what they've been learning about that process so far and a little bit about what's going to be happening in the future. So the most important bit of this is the next test will involve some basic crafting. So players in the extraction shooter can extract fragments, and then you can put these fragments together to make weapon skins. That will also feed into the marketplace. So you can trade these fragments, obviously NFTs, to put together the skins that you want to. So talk a bit about that and then go into more detail about the vision for Shrapnel, which is really about user-generated content on lots of different levels. So the idea is it'll be a platform, particularly for building obviously skins, but also maps and that sort of thing. The extraction shooter gameplay is sort of the gameplay part of that, but UGC is sort of where the whole vision is. So plenty to talk about. Had a really good chat with Don. Hope you enjoy it, and don't forget to subscribe. Every week we're putting out new episodes of the podcast, so plenty of good ones already lined up for April. Don't miss out. On with the show. Hello everyone, and welcome to the show. Very pleased today. I've got Don Norbury from Shrapnel. How's it going, Don?
It's going fantastic. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So you're just saying it's actually just over 2 years since Don first came on the podcast. So episode 107, if you want to go back in time and see what we were talking about then.
Oh wow.
I think you actually had the same. I'm pretty sure you had the same sort of background on. So the logo hasn't changed at all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, our branding has changed. We went through a rebrand, but I keep that back there. Yeah, the Scully logo, we call it, as a reminder. You know, you gotta remember your roots. Yep.
Yes, exactly. But now, I guess, very much then we were talking in the abstract about what Shrapnel. It was all the concept of what Shrapnel sort of was back then that you were working on, and now. We're playing Shrapnel, at least some of us are. So I guess that's the big thing is really for the last 6 weeks or so, you've gone through two different sort of playtest situations. So that's the people who buy the there's basically three different packs you can buy. So assuming people buy the packs now, they can get onto the playtest still, I suppose.
That's the thing. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. That'll be for the duration of the STXs.
And I guess the scary thing is once you have something that people are playing, then actual people are playing your game and they're telling you what you think about it. So obviously very early, but how are you finding that process?
It's been great, actually. It's been an excellent kind of proof of our thesis that this is how we should be doing it, especially for, you know, a multiplayer game like this that we have high quality bar, but like our team compared to an Activision or a Ubisoft or something is much smaller, obviously, right? So it's a lot of what we're doing is kind of out of responsibility, and the community engagement and feedback part is an added benefit, especially with this kind of with this crowd. But overall, it's like, you know, we had the expected couple road bumps, speed bumps that we had to navigate, but our team like rallied into action. Our live ops worked, our response plans worked, and you kind of like iron those stuff, those things out little by little. It's trending in the direction it should, which is it gets smoother and smoother. Yeah. Like our platform team would, they use the term boring. They want everything to be delightfully boring, right? When it comes to launching stuff. So we're trending more in the boring direction when it comes to the launches.
Because I guess this, if you, well, correct me if I'm wrong, if you weren't a blockchain game, you wouldn't be showing this early, I assume, or would you?
You know, I don't know where my career is going to go, and I certainly, like, beyond Shrapnel, have lots of dreams and aspirations, but I think I don't think I'd do it very different again unless it was, like, a single-player, narrative-driven game, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in that, obviously, you got to finish the book before somebody starts reading it. But you know that for this type of experience, I would highly recommend it for like any studio and any title. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So correct me if I'm wrong. So I think is it just one map that you're sort of putting people into? Is that correct?
Right now, yes. It's one map. It's actually the what people can play right now is like 1/6
Oh,
of
really? Okay.
the actual space. Yeah, we put this on, if you're like in the garden area, you can see it very distinctly. There's kind of like a wall that blocks you off from the rest of the city.
Okay.
So there's a lot of content there.
Okay.
But it hasn't been as like rigorously tested for where you can get stuck in stuff and fall through and yada yada, but it's kind of gray blocks, box and blocked out.
Yeah.
And you can see as we're like arting up the area that we are allowing people to play in, and then we'll start opening different
Okay.
sections of the city. So, right now it's like 12 or 14 people that are in a session.
Is it?
Our ultimate goal that we think will end up is around 40. And it'll take, we think the pace will take a little longer at that scale for people to have their first encounter. It'll certainly change it, but that's like one of the reasons we're doing it this way. So we'll open up another section, play with the number of spawns, the number of players in the session, see how it feels, et cetera, et cetera. Yep.
And it did feel I played I'm not I mean I'm because I was going to say I'm not very good at these games, but let's actually be truthful. I'm terrible at these games. I would say it's in the nicest possible way, it's not a particularly fun experience for me to get shot, but I'm doing it to
I mean,
for the
nobody enjoys getting
experience.
shot. Like
Yeah, but I
that's
get
not a
shot all
you
the time.
thing.
It's just like, it's just really not. Really, there is no fun. But I did sort of know between. It seemed to me, though, I could be wrong here. Between the first play session and the second play session, there was the maps were being sort of updated. I don't know, in terms of textures or something like that. So you are sort of iteratively sort of
Oh yeah.
improving them. Yeah. That's
Yeah,
the
oh, 100%. Yeah, the art train is rolling through for sure.
Don't call it.
But yeah, and it's more of that. Even currently playable section is arted up, and it's not just like static meshes that are getting replaced and that sort of thing. It's also kind of like effects, like visual layers you can see getting added in, right? Like rats running around the level, like stuff blowing through the air, like all of those little kind of movement pieces that make it feel alive.
And it was it is I mean, I don't play a lot of shooters, so maybe I've not got the right sort of lens on this, but it is quite a complex sort of mesh. So, I mean, there are is a sort of destroyed city, so there is lots of sort of rubble everywhere, and you're sort of crawling through stuff and having. And I think, if you, I guess one of the things is for people who play it a lot is, I mean, all these shooters in the same map, you need to absolutely know where the map, the locations of everything in the map to get an idea of sort of what's going on. So which makes it a harder learning curve, I suppose, to begin with.
To
But
master it, yeah,
that's the thing.
absolutely. Yep.
And
Yeah, and it's we do, I don't know if you completed it, but when we do the STXs, we have a survey at the end that people can opt into. We actually get a lot of useful subjective and like kind of data driven, the ones that are more like multiple choice metrics. We can see trends over time. But even in the subjective pieces, I'd say one of the spiciest topics is whether we should have a some version of a map, like mini map, et
Oh,
cetera. You know,
really?
it's yeah, to accelerate that mastery curve. And our creative director had his initial like, stake in the sand stance against it. But he's a open-minded person. Like he's gonna. He recognizes, and I've worked on other games with him as well. You never know until you play it, right? And then you have to have like nothing precious. You're willing to destroy it and recreate it. It's like whatever's in service of the most amount of fun. Yeah.
And I guess so. What are they? So just for people who haven't played it, probably a lot of people. So it's an extraction shooter. You get basically dropped into this map, and then as the sort of as it progresses, you have these comets. I don't know what you exactly call them, but things falling down from the sky. And they all happen in the same places, don't they? So I guess there is some also pattern. There is some sort of recognition around that. Is it always land in the same place? But
No, so
no, okay.
there's actually a system that we like. It's called the session director. We took a, it's kind of a hat tip to the AI director from Left 4 Dead, because it does a little bit of similarity in that it's kind of analyzing how people are playing and where they are and how much sigma they are, and it's deciding how when like when and where the sigma storms come. So right now it's a little more baked in terms of. There are like discrete places that it can happen, And the like effects that can happen and the destruction around it. And so it's not like it can literally happen anywhere. But it is like that director is determining the timing and the actual location those things will happen. Over time, we're working on systems that are more like destruction systems for the level that allow, and so not like it's being destroyed constantly as you're playing, but to feed into the Sigma Storm's ability to happen in more locations without us like defining very discreetly where they are.
And the point is, these Sigma Storms come in, and there's these green glowing orbs that you pick up, and that's what you're sort of collecting. That's the sort of the that's the extraction part of it. And so obviously,
It is for now. So STX, yeah, STX3, which right now is probably around mid-May is when it'll land. So that will introduce fragments that you collect that are used to craft your own skins. So we have a crafting system that's all like blockchain backed. That's again, we're like flexing kind of our like game item template part of the actual like blockchain backend. So we have like composables, craftables, burnables, like all of these different capabilities that the backend can do. So that's kind of the, well, let's do the craftable one, and put it through its paces, make sure it stands up under scale and all that fun stuff. So yeah, the you pick up these fragments, and for each skin there's I think for most of them it's like you need three fragments, and they come in different rarities. So there's one that's very rare. The other two might be a little more common. And then we have a wild card system, so you can buy wild cards. So if you're like trying to grind for a particular skin and you just can't get like that third one, then you can use a wild card or like all of this stuff. At the same time, the marketplace will also support selling for players. So people will be buying and selling fragments on the open market. So you might be able to just buy like the third one that you can't find instead of a wild card as well. So it's sort of how we're just like incrementally adding stuff that people can collect and trade, and then kind of craft their own stuff as well.
That was the first about a couple of weeks ago, you did skins for the first time, so people could use the Shrapnel token to buy sort of preset skins. So you had like you like a primary sort of these are the skins that you buy.
Yep,
So I guess, yes,
exactly.
as you're saying, it's an iterative process. So I should say, for people who don't know, you're running on Avalanche, or I guess your own subnet of Avalanche. So this will be the first sort of big test, I suppose, in mid-May when you start bringing that sort of. I mean, I guess it's not going to be a massive transactional sort of volume on there, is it? But it's the first test for people actually, doing something in the
Yeah, I mean
marketplace.
the usage of the marketplace for selling will start certainly add an additional dimension. Everything like the way the marketplace works now, even with buying the skins, are like that's still like the operations of that are on our subnet as well. So, but it's unidirectional, right? Which obviously isn't our like complete vision. So the we'd buy and then buy sell, and then we actually the third phase will be auction. For what we see as like high value items, super rare items, people probably opt for kind of an auction mechanic. So increasing that both the complexity of how people can engage in trading, but also like you nailed it, like the scale that it'll happen based on the amount of stuff that you can trade.
And because that's obviously, you get a lot of focus on Shrapnel being an extraction shooter, and people, certainly on Twitter, I see lots of people, showing videos of how great they are. I wouldn't quite measure up there, but obviously, the sort of the bigger vision, the vision for Shrapnel, the extraction shooter was the sort of the jam, I suppose, the focus. But the whole point of it is it's this sort of UGC universe, isn't it? That happens to be a have a shooter at the sort of the gameplay core of it. So getting the UGC stuff out is, I guess, the I mean, it's
Yeah,
equally
so
important to the shooter, I suppose.
we have insignias and that are kind of already live. Not they're not we're not pushing them right now, but we have like a decent amount of very crafty community members who have been flexing that system to its limits. What we'll be introducing either in this next release or the next one is that those insignias have a big representation in the game. We're actually talking right now even about possibly a way that like affixes, like modifiers, can be added to insignias as well. So it's like
Okay.
it basically creates a situation where it's not a question if you're going to have one equipped on your weapon, right? You're always going to have this aesthetic treatment, and then you have the ability to kind of like tailor your own custom character, like the way you play, based on how you like tune it with a modifier. So it's kind of like starting that player customization, like player style, using the UGC as well. So it's not just aesthetic flavor. It's also can be like representative of the way you play.
Yeah, okay. And that all that stuff is very focused on sort of the, the map you've got, and you're obviously making that map bigger and getting more players in. But then you have another whole UGC thing, which is building your own maps, which I guess is a
Oh yeah.
yeah. I mean, that, and that's sort of the as I was sort of the end goal there. That's I mean, there's a different sort of person. Probably not everyone is making maps. Certainly, not everyone's making good maps. But that's, that's really
Yeah,
when
and
you,
it's complicated. Our map tool, so yeah, we've been in development on that for a long time. It's in the actual client,
Okay.
so it's not a separate like editor that you download. Everyone who installs the actual game client, there's so I guess sort of like Halo Forge in that regard at least. Also, kind of in that same vein, the way you snap like widgets together is similar. It's not Unreal Editor that we're giving you, like it's in the actual client. We built our own kind of simplified UI, and the way everything makes it so, because making good maps is hard, even when you're just snapping things together. Of course, like in the full creative expression, it's really hard because things don't fit, and it's just like too malleable for kind of a normal user who's not a game dev and isn't used to slamming their head against it for weeks at a time to try and get it just the way you want it. So it's the old like just enough rope approach to the editor to like what we want is good maps consistently that aren't broken in ways that a normal like editor map typically is, and requires like a QA, like a test team to just to find all the places that it's broken. So that's very much the approach. And we're like, the tool set keeps growing all the time. We haven't gotten to the point yet where we've pulled kind of the Tokyo assets that we have right now, or the Japan ecosystem and biome into it yet. It's kind of has its own prefab set that we've
Okay,
been
still.
working with just to make sure we get the like tool set fleshed out. Because there's a lot, as you can imagine, there's like a lot of churn when you're building a map in terms of what those assets are and how they're getting fine-tuned. So we want it to be in like a reasonably kind of concrete place, and then pull them in, fine-tune that, and it'll kind of be almost the last step before we start pulling in kind of like, and we'll do the same thing that we did with the Insignia tool, which is get early community members in. We have a like whitelisting kind of entitlement feature flag system where we can like snap it open for them. So everybody has it, but they're the only people who can use it. And they'll be able to play with it and give us feedback. And once we kind of start expanding that way, then it'll become av available for the general public.
But it sounds like that's quite a way off.
I think we want to do that first phase
Oh, really?
probably in Q4 this year. That's the, when I look at the, and this is a very like, I've been making games for 20 years, like gut check as opposed to a production schedule, right? But like if I had to put my finger on it, it would be probably, beginning to mid of Q4 is when we'll start having the community like build maps and give feedback.
And sort of in general, as well as you having these STQ sort of play tests that are very specific sort of time, so they're normally, I mean, I think some of them have been as long as 6 hours, but they're sort of, for the next 3 days it's happening at these sort of times,
Yep.
which is sort of, obviously, it's got to start somewhere, early doors and stuff. But I wonder if one of the problems, particularly with blockchain, is people are maybe going a little bit early, and then you have this sort of long period of time where sort of not maybe not that much, when you stop playing a game, then that's cool. I didn't have a game, now I'm playing the game. But then not much necessarily for someone who's just playing the game sort of changes. Maybe I was saying before, I think the art got better, but not quite sure. So how do you feel you can kind of keep the community engaged when you're behind the scenes, you're doing loads and loads of really complex work, but there's not any obvious changes that are sort of happening for the community? I mean, is that a worry, or is that just...
So the game itself, like the game client,
Yeah.
is just one expression in Shrapnel.
Hmm.
So we'll right now it's 3 8-hour days is how we had done it, and we kind of took
Okay.
a page from I think it's Dark and Darker, is a game that's in early access as well, and they basically are doing this that style of kind of focal playtime, and it
Yeah.
works really well because it gets people. It gets concurrency, it gets like global focus to it. Otherwise,
Yeah.
it can be hard to find a match
Yeah.
because people are playing other things, right? So we're actually, I think for SDX3, instead of it being 8 hours at a time, we're gonna do just a rolling. So it'll be like 3 or 4
Okay.
days, 24 hours a day. So it'll just roll for those 4 days. And that's mostly because a lot of the feedback that we've gotten is just time zone sensitivity,
Yes.
right? We've
Yeah.
taken different approaches to it. Like one of the sub, like the minor versions of STX, we actually shifted the time zones wildly on each day to kind of give different parts of the world a better sleep schedule if they wanted to play.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna take the well, we're just gonna roll it approach and let it launch the entire time. During the in betweens, so to kind of address your original question though, like that's where things like the marketplace and
Yep.
crafting and being able to customize stuff bridge the gap in between. Of course, we'll be talking about what's coming and getting people excited in terms of the actual game releases.
Yep.
And a lot of the feature set is still pivoting around. It's like your ability to use stuff in the game is important, right, for the Shrapnel ecosystem. Even with us building other ways that you can express it and use it outside of the game client itself, it's still the game client that's going to be the ultimate like expression of that. So kind of like building that story of, hey, these pieces you can get in, you can customize this, you can play with these new tools, and then when the game, like the new set of missions launches and that playtime comes, you can grab the client and see like the fruits of your labor effectively in the
Yeah.
actual game.
Have you got to the stage yet where you're starting to see sort of any sort of, I don't know if you call them these anymore, but sort of, just general gamers sort of coming in? I mean, I guess you are quite sort of, blockchain sort of heavy. I guess you're, certainly in the blockchain games community, Shrapnel is always one that comes up with people point about AAA blockchain games. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say you're a AAA compared to Call of Duty, but you know what people are saying. So, do you feel like your community is still very much sort of crypto at the moment, or are sort of people just like shooters? Because obviously, the extraction shooter genre is, there's lots of people trying it in different ways. So I'm sure there are people who really like that genre who just, and if they heard about this extraction shooter, whether it was on blockchain or not, it wouldn't necessarily put them off, but.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely an event overlap of crypto person and gamer
Yeah.
person, but I
Okay.
think it's if we have people who are like don't know anything about crypto
Yeah.
like at all, that would I think surprise me at this point. We haven't
Okay, yeah.
really like expended any marketing effort to attract that type of cohort yet.
Yeah.
So we have a partnership with Myth as a streamer, and we have kind of like a micro influencer
Okay.
strategy as well. So we got like one big other like major streamer, but then a bunch of like hundreds of micro streamers. It's kind of the way we're going to approach it. It's how we see kind of kind of game marketing moving forward, at least in this day and age.
Okay.
But we haven't really in earnest turned much of that on. We've had a couple little things with Myth here and there. He came to like GDC and Consensus and stuff to play the
Okay.
game, but nothing in earnest. The game needs to get to like a slightly more mature
Yeah.
point, I think, to where towards the end of this year we'll probably turn that on a lot
Yeah.
heavier. Ultimately, the paywall
Yeah.
stops a lot of people from an early access perspective. So I think between the marketing and the paywall, once we start the crossfade, the paywall will still prevent a lot of people from kind of walking in and playing. But once that veil gets lifted, then it's fair game. And then we're in like your classic, the largest funnel we can possibly have, like classic user acquisition strategy that we're very familiar with from
Yeah.
Web2 gaming.
I mean, talking about that, I mean, obviously, I assume you're not going to be on Steam. I don't know. I mean, see where Steam is, I guess, then.
We're
But I
actually,
mean,
yes, we're talking right now about
yeah, okay.
well, We're talking, all a lot of us come from Xbox as well, or at least, I was there for like 6 years. We spent a stint at Xbox, so we're very well connected to Redmond here because it's,
Down the road.
20 minutes away from the studio, basically. Yep. So there are earnest discussions happening about being both on console as well as Steam because those would from a product shape. And what people can do and what they can't do and how we do that responsibly are much the same conversation. So that it gets into the space where it is like two Web3 savvy people and people playing natively with their like PC distribution on a with other distributions, it will be somewhat neutered effectively, but it's it has to happen that way because of policy.
And I guess, I mean, at some point in the, it seems like in the nearer future, then you guys will be there. I mean, there's an Off the Grid is certainly the sort of the, seems to be coming to console. I mean, they've got a Xbox page, so unless they're faking that up, they've said they're going to
Yeah, no,
PlayStation as well. So, you know, and they're another
it's
Avalanche
because
game, aren't
they're, yeah, their primary like, as far as I know right now, like what they have blockchain wise is primarily their mobile app, right, and wallet provisioning. So it's if you don't have heavy, like, blockchain integration into like the intrinsic economy and gameplay and progression, then it's a lot easier. For us, it's a lot harder because it is like intertwined with a lot of stuff you do, whether you realize it or not. The whole point is, to have it frictionless where you're using it and you don't even know. And we do clever things around again from like a kind of regulatory and compliance perspective, to make it so even though it is all blockchain backed, we can be like clever with basically when people actually own things instead of use them, that allows you to still like do what you want with them, but when they're kind of an implicit like taking custody of things. An example, if you want to sell something, you need to have custody of it, right? But up until that point, you're basically kind of using it. If you want to transfer it out of the ecosystem, you need to take custody of it. So these being we built our entire infrastructure with like the ability to be very careful with these things, which is the only reason we can even have it with how intrinsically tied blockchain is with everything we do. It's the reason we can even have a conversation and start planning what a console release would look like.
I guess that's sort of nice because the monolithic sort of thing we've had where sort of everyone's owned everything and had to sort of create their own wallet or have created their own wallet. It's, you know, that's one way, that's how we got into the system, and that's how obviously, you know, some games have been very successful doing that. But clearly that's not really, you're never going to go mass market with that sort of system. And I guess because we see, you know, in general, wallets becoming much more complex in terms of how you create them and how you recover them, then obviously that's going to spread all the way down
Oh
the
yeah.
ecosystem. So,
Yeah, and like the Godzilla approach on the mobile is one of them. We do our account service creates a custodial wallet behind each account, which is how we manage all that for you. And we don't call it a wallet or anything. It's just your inventory. When you're in the game or in the ecosystem, like if you go to the website right now, like it's literally you click on inventory and it shows you everything in your inventory, but it's effectively a wallet that's handling it all. But we also, right, like right out of the gate, you can connect as many non-custodial wallets as you want to your account, and we like have that ownership in there reflected into the larger aggregate things that you own, and allows you to transfer things in and out. So it's that's the like really at the root of the reason we're doing what we're doing. So it's like we're never going to leave that behind because the Web3 expressions of opening kind of our marketplace APIs in ways that like people we would never expect, the way like people want to kind of bundle the stuff that's being traded in the marketplace in their own way, right? As an example, that we're not going to do in our marketplace, but we allow some other platform, to utilize. Like those sorts of things are like why we're doing it in this space in the first place. So all of that's always like super top of mind, and really those sorts of feature sets, because we're productizing our platform as well. It's called Mercury. Become standard features, right? Those are the things developers can take advantage of in this space. Like, and because I think especially in Web3 gaming, a lot of the stuff we're doing is beyond what other games are trying to do. So it's not just like, hey, here's the relatively simple pattern that you want to use. It's also like, here's some stuff you probably never thought about because you're not maybe not a native Web3 developer, and it kind of like opens up people's minds, like, holy, I would never expect to like even think to engage with other partners that way. And like, yep, that's the cool part about it.
And sort of more generally, obviously, probably when we were talking sort of last time, we were into that sort of backlash thing was starting against blockchain. I think a lot of that's dissipated now. I mean, are you just obviously you're sort of you know lots of people just make who make games because you've made games for 20 years. Do you kind of think we are getting to the stage now where, as you say, you're sort of doing things that you couldn't do any other way, and the fact they're on a blockchain is not sort of scary or scammy or crypto. I mean, it just becomes sort of like, oh, there's this technology and you use it for games and people can do cool stuff. Is it, I mean, are we quite at that stage yet, or is it still a little bit
I
to
mean, it depends. I would say I like I've had this discussion a couple times since
go?
GDC, especially
Oh,
because
really? Okay.
GDC represents this great. It's a great like repeating marker every year, and you're with game devs, so this you get a lot of filtered sentiment, right? A very specific lens of sentiment. And I would say when we went two GDCs ago. Before we ever, ever had a playable or anything, the sentiment was not, it wasn't outright hostile, I would say, if for game devs, not so much as it is among like consumers and the Kotakus of the world. But it was like, kind of constrained curiosity, I guess. Like they knew it was people knew it was a thing, kind of wanted to know how it worked, what we were thinking, about X, Y, or Z. Last year we did, a playable that was our we called it MPX or multiplayer experiment, and did demos in the Marriott Marquis over the course of the entire week. And during that experience, the questions were very different already. So the questions went from like, why are you doing blockchain? How does this work at all? To like, how are you going to prevent cheating? And how are you? It was very much like the questions we typically get asked just in normal game dev, right? Why are you doing this with the camera and the like reload animations and yada yada? I'm like, all right, like this is changing a little bit. This year, it was ev like everybody wanted to know how we were doing what we were doing and what like why'd you choose Avalanche subnets? How's your infrastructure work? Like who do I talk to like do X, Y, or Z? And it was nonstop. I had like a crowd of people the entire time we were there, who just wanted to talk about how we're doing, what we're doing in the future. So, I would say, I don't know how far that needle has swung in the public sentiment perspective, but in the game dev world, it's very much, okay, this is a, they're now like on the same page that I was 2 years ago, which is it's not if, it's when. And they're feeling the like when is sooner than they probably expected, and feel like they're getting left behind.
That's good. Because for people who didn't know, Avalanche had a really big stand, probably the biggest of the blockchain sort of stands, blockchain companies at GDC. So I think it was you and Off the Grid and a few others that were sort of heavily being promoted by Avalanche as sort of the poster children of the scene.
We had we have a great relationship with Avalanche, and I did a like a panel with MapleStory Universe and
Oh yeah,
Ed
of course.
Chang, who was there. He's the head of gaming for Ava Labs, and they're, I would say, aside from just like the technical prowess as it applies to what we want to do for Shrapnel and for Mercury Platform, and allows what game devs expect in terms of transaction time and scalability and remove like having gasless environments so you can focus on the experience instead of this like changing costs over time based on popularity, like these things that are kind of if they have to be designed, a game has to be designed with those as a constraint, it's going to have a very specific shape. They just kind of like fit all those bills right out of the gate, but it's dev, right? So like stuff never works perfectly. So like having them as a like great just partner along the way is critical. And I would say with everything that we use tech, like from a technology perspective, that's probably the most important part is like that they're a good partner. because, like I said, nothing ever really works the way you expect it to, and like you got to get through it somehow. You got to have responsive people like who are open-minded and going to come up with good solutions to stuff. So, yeah, they've been absolutely fantastic every step of the way.
In fact, this remind me. I think well, this remind me exactly when we were talking 2 years ago. We were trying to. I was trying to get out of you. What blockchain you were going on? You're like, oh no, this is, yeah. Looking at them all. Looking at them all. And I think you guys were. I'm sure you weren't the first on Avalanche because there was that crab game, wasn't there? Crabada or something that was very
They were the
popular.
first gaming subnet. Yep.
But I think you were the sort of first. I don't know, say proper proper
Yeah, and
games in that
everybody,
sense.
yeah, most people thought we were crazy because at the time the pattern was basically to take a check from somebody and be on that chain, right? And granted that, you know, it's typically in the a constrained space of you know, Solana was hot for a while, Polygon's always catering everyone, Immutable is always like catering, you know, but they all come with not just technical trade-offs, but also like that creates a relationship situation, right? That you then have to navigate. And it's not to say it's like you're in jail, but if it doesn't work out, it just makes it a little more complicated to figure out how to, you know, actually get out of it and make it work out the way you need.
And it's kind of been interesting over the past 6 months because everyone, not everyone, but a lot of people have moved for either funding reasons or because there's all these L2, L3s launching all the time. So it's all, you know, it's sort of interesting that there's probably not that many, certainly of the sort of bigger games that are sort of stuck to where they are. Lots of them have just sort of shifted for these reasons. So it's, again, interesting that you obviously, the time you spent making that choice was obviously well
Yeah,
used.
and it was yeah. I was probably you know rolled my eyes or sighed or something when you first asked me that because I was right in the middle of I had like a huge decision matrix with all of these dimensions for each of the chains and like was talking constantly to just different not just the like them themselves but different projects and how they approached it and their consideration even different like VCs who. Not necessarily even ones that invested in us, but are in the blockchain space and in gaming. I would 100% hit them up to like try and get info and you know ultimately the partnership and the just technical superiority for like what we needed to do from a gaming perspective like ruled the day. And turns out we made the right decision.
And it's probably a horrible simplification, but effectively running your own subnet is sort of like having your own L2 or L3 anyway, isn't it? So it's sort of you.
I mean, it's your own L1. You know, for a while, I think Avalanche marketed themselves as L1 as a service, right? And now they kind of have a message around like basically sovereign blockchains that are connected via like a central chain, and you know, from the C chain basically. But yeah, it allows us to like all block space is defined and used by us, right? All of the VM like architecture is defined by us, node topology, like the policy that allows validators to come in. Like we get to control all of that to make sure it's has from a security perspective and from like a regional like geographic policy perspective that we can even have those boundaries obeyed at the like subnet level. And but like the VM thing is a perfect example, right? We're in the process of like migrating to a different VM that has like much higher transaction throughput that'll just like make everything easier and we can do these sorts of things because it's our own subnet, right? And it's still like all of our architecture and infrastructure is built on layer zero, like everything's bridgeable from the get-go, so it's not like we're changing any of that stuff. We're able to like you know, oh, we're going to make transaction throughput better and faster without having any of these other things change.
Cool. Well, coming to the end, I guess always good to highlight what should people be doing. I guess the obvious thing is go and buy a pack and start playing the game, I suppose.
Yep.
That's the
Yeah. Yep.
thing.
Definitely. You know, marketplace is there. People can make their own call signs and insignias. But you know, the very very soon upcoming things I was kind of alluding to, which will be the next playable that'll have the big like crafting beat in it, as well as the marketplace expanded capabilities to sell the stuff that you have as well. And we're also going to be rolling out like a fiat on ramp at the same time. So it's kind of like the it's not that's not like a big surprising deal, but it's an important one for getting users kind of onboarded more easily. So and then our team will be kind of all over the world. We're trying to get more players in like a wider variety of geographic regions right now. We're very, very like U.S. and Brazil,
Oh,
like
Brazil. That's
South American heavy.
okay.
Yep, it's one of the things we're seeing. Lots of players from Vietnam as well. So we have portions of our team will be like in Dubai, in a couple weeks, and then in Bangkok and for the Southeast Asia Blockchain Week, we'll be kind of continuing that process and just like meeting people all over the world who might not know about Shrapnel in different corners. So just trying to make it a like more global household name.
And I guess, I mean, sort of final question. I mean, obviously, you're a sort of PC game, so I was sort of surprised Brazil, because Brazil, you often have a lot of players, but they're generally obviously all on mobile. So you've obviously that's going to skew you to some degree, because there are just some territories that are just much more PC focused and some are much more mobile focused. So, I mean,
Yeah, we were actually surprised. I mean,
yeah.
this came from like telemetry during the STX sessions. So we were
Okay.
surprised to see the number of people that we had playing from Brazil. But like the telemetry doesn't lie.
Yeah.
It actually created a situation with our matchmaking where because it's trying to resolve like quality of service for everyone, and we had like a ton of people in the U.S. and a ton of people in Brazil. And we're like had to work on our a data center strategy to be like, all right, we gotta like satisfy these two. We're getting into these situations where like they're playing together and it's trying to figure out which data center to use and it's not the best one. So like
Yeah.
those are the sorts of things why we do it this way, so that we can fix those things like incrementally over time without having it all fall over. But like those are the types of fallouts that result from that, like those that unexpected behavior, unexpected kind of player base. So I would say like understanding who our players are, who our like fans are, is kind of like one of my priorities right now, because we have like 120,000 accounts now.
Oh, really? Well, that's.
And I think like half of them, or maybe a little over half of them, are people who the accounts are playable in early access. It's a pretty healthy
That's pretty
number of
good,
people. I mean, we've never had a concurrency issue. Like people are getting into in matchmaking are getting into matches in 30 seconds or less typically. I think our average match time is like 10 seconds to get into a match. So, that part of it's working. That the people coming back to the sessions, to SDX, as we release more, we're seeing the best sort of numbers trend that you can see and hope for, and this style of game and release. So it's getting to a point where we have enough players and enough data to start digging into it, to like understand our customers, and then try and cater to them better and better.
Cool. Good. Good. So you want to get on board the Shrapnel gravy train now before it gets full up? No. Cool. Thanks so much, Don, for your time. That was really fascinating. Covered a lot of stuff there. And yeah, good. Everyone, go and check out Shrapnel. And
Awesome.
thanks to
Thanks,
you.
John.
And thanks to everyone for watching and listening to the podcast, whoever you are consuming it. Every week we are putting out new episodes. There's so much going on in blockchain. I'm not going to do it, but I'm actually vaguely considering doing 2 a week, but I think that would just be too much for everyone. But definitely doing 1 a week at the moment. Lots of good ones set up for April and May already. So don't miss out. Do subscribe, and I'll see you next time.